I found my next guest. He is a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1. He is a writer for The Athletic. He is a New York Times bestselling author. His latest book, The QB, is out in paperback. Good friend of the program. He is everywhere. We are joined by Bruce Feldman. Bruce, I know you're having a busy day. Great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Good to be on with you.
Good to have you. So, from Washington beating Washington State in the snow, to Ohio State hammering Michigan, to Notre Dame beating USC, to Texas A&M and LSU going seven overtimes, and then staff members getting into a fight, that is a wild, wild weekend in college football. What do you make of what you just saw overall?
It was crazy. I mean, to me, the craziest thing was that seven overtime game there. LSU at A&M, you had some really questionable calls along the way. I thought both quarterbacks played really well, but it was just kind of just a crazy game. And then you have the end of it, after the fact, where you have this incident between what it sounds like Jimbo Fisher's nephew getting into it with a staffer who has Parkinson's. And Kevin Falk is involved, the former Patriots running back who now works at LSU. Just kind of, it's a really nutty, awkward moment for the SEC to kind of sort out. And in a lot of ways, it's like, the game isn't nationally relevant to the playoff, but it feels like it was probably one of the more odd things in what has been kind of an underwhelming season. Certainly beyond that, huge results out of Columbus with Ohio State once again dominating that series against Michigan. I mean, that is a relevant storyline that if you're Jim Harbaugh, that's not going away anytime soon.
No, it's not. Bruce Feldman joining us. And Bruce, you're in Columbus today doing work ahead of the Big 12 or Big 10 title game. Going into Saturday's game, all the hype was surrounding Michigan. I mean, what kind of a game were you expecting between the Wolverines and the Buckeyes this time around?
I thought the way this was trending, Jim, as good as Michigan's defense was, as much as Ohio State's offensive line had struggled, I thought this would be the year they could get them. And it was not the case. Ohio State's offensive line really stepped up. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, I just talked to Urban Meyer. He didn't get touched in the game, and he looked like a Heisman contender. I mean, threw six touchdown passes. You have a really talented group of receivers stepped up, and they made the number one defense in the country look really average. I mean, Michigan only gave up seven touchdown passes all season going into that game, and Dwayne Haskins got six of them in that day. I thought it was quite a show. It was a big statement game for Ohio State, and I think, quite honestly, they reminded people, oh, yeah, this is a really talented team, and when they bring their A game, which I don't think they had all season up till that point, they could play with pretty much anybody else.
They put it all together on that day. Bruce Feldman joining us. He's actually in Columbus. So, Bruce, what about Harbaugh then? He's 0-4 against Ohio State. They won't make the college football playoff. They have not won a Big Ten title in his time there. They've watched Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State do exactly that. At what point does the patience wear out in Ann Arbor?
I think there's got to be some frustration. The patience is probably worn a little bit. But, look, they still have a really good year, but they have a problem with the other team, their arch rival. Quite honestly, has more talent than they do. I think it showed up. This is a really good team. I don't think it's as good. If they play their best and Ohio State plays their best, Ohio State's going to win. They may not win by as many as they did, but he's just got to keep recruiting and developing better players. I mean, I think it's that simple. I don't think he's on the hot seat or any stretch. He's going to win. He may win 11 games this season. It's not a bad year, but I think for a lot of people, until they can finally beat the arch rival, it's going to feel like he's not getting the job done, because the job as that head coach of that program is to win the game that matters most, and he has not been able to do that.
Bruce Feldman joining us. All right, Bruce, in terms of beating the rival and being on a hot seat, how about here in Los Angeles? The patience was wearing thin among USC fans when it came to Clay Helton, and that was before he lost to UCLA and Notre Dame. But AD Lynn Swann said yesterday that Helton would be back next season. How do you think Trojan fans are going to react to that news?
Not well. I think they had already made up their mind. A lot of them didn't want Clay Helton in the first place. Now, look, to Clay Helton's credit, he won a Rose Bowl. He's won the Pac-12 title. This year was certainly a big step back. They didn't have Sam Darnold. They have a good group of receivers, and I think young JT Daniels, the true freshman quarterback, he's talented. I mean, there's some reasons for optimism, but I think what Clay Helton is going to have to do is he's going to have to make some big staff hires, which quite honestly hadn't done before. And I think people look at that staff makeup and they feel like it's an underwhelming group. They don't run the football well. We saw 2 weeks ago our crew did the UCLA game, and UCLA ran it down their throats. They had a walk-on 1AA running back run for almost 300 yards against those guys. So I think there's going to be some hard questions there. Lots of people like Clay Helton. I mean, he's a genuinely decent man. But beyond that, I think some people who've been around the team look at it and go, you know what? They don't have enough of an edge. Now, that doesn't mean Clay Helton needs to have it, but he needs to find guys on his staff who I think can bring that out, especially during the week in practice, and make this a tougher, more disciplined team. I feel like that's what's been missing. I'm curious to see who he's going to hire. I think they're going to start swinging for the fences, something that didn't feel like they had done before, to surround him with that. And I think if they can make some key hires, a few big-name hires who are proven guys who can help, I think that will kind of diffuse a little bit of the kind of frustration and animosity that you have from this fan base.
Bruce Feldman joining us. Bruce, let me ask you this. To that point then, and I know you've given this thought, if they need to hit a home run and they've got to take some big swings, how do you do so when the head coach is already on thin ice? Like, who's going to want to come to that situation, and do you have any big names in mind that you think they can land?
Well, I think the biggest part is whoever comes in, let's say you're going to be the offensive coordinator and take over that side. You know, Clay Helton had taken over play calling duties from T. Martin. T. Martin's well-liked. He's a terrific recruiter. I could see them wanting to keep him around, but maybe, you know, certainly find a new play caller. But the question's going to be, if you're a coach and saying, all right, you know what? We knew Clay Helton was on the hot seat. We knew they struggled. They were a team that only won 5 games. If I go in there to help that team out, and all of a sudden they go from a 5-win team to a 10-win team, and or even more, they win the Pac-12 title, that those people who are the additions are going to get a lot of credit for that. So, you know what? Swing for the fences. I'll tell you what, one of the hottest commodities right now in coaching is a guy who just lost his head coaching job at Texas Tech. And I know a lot of people in the NFL have a lot of interest in Cliff Kingsbury. That's a name that I think there's going to be a lot of people going to say, hey, at least go after somebody like that. I mean, there's a lot of good offensive coaches out there that I think USC really needs to kind of at least kick the tires on and say, hey, you know what, we're going to take a shot and take a swing. Because I think really that's what the USC fans want. They look at some of the hires he's made in the past and think, okay, these are nice guys, but that's fine at other places. USC should be doing what Urban Meyer's done, what Nick Saban's done. You know, go hire guys who are in demand and try to get them. USC has a lot of money and they have a lot of resources, and it's obviously a great place to live in Southern California. It's appealing for a lot of people. Go see if you can make that happen. And to me, those are going to be the biggest recruits that Clay Helton will be going for this winter. It won't be kids in high school or kids in junior college. It's going to be grown men who can help them to prepare and make this team more disciplined and quite honestly more focused.
Such a good point. Bruce Feldman joining us. He's working from Columbus. Bruce, one last thought. So Michigan loses. What does that mean for the college football playoff picture? Who would you have in the fourth spot right now?
You know, I'm curious what the committee's going to come out with this week, where you have Ohio State versus Oklahoma, both really good offensive teams. I think Ohio State's resume with who they've beaten could stack up well. I mean, I think their win as they dominated Michigan is going to be better than anything that OU will have. But, you know, OU is going to get the chance to avenge their only loss, and their only loss was to Texas by 3 points, whereas Ohio State had a really bad loss. They lost to a pretty average Purdue team. They got blown out on the road. And I feel like a lot of people are looking at them going, well, they kind of stumbled and sputtered, and now they're finishing strong. I think what's going to work against them a little bit is people feel like they've been disappointing, you know, because it feels like they've been underachieving for a lot of the year. And as much as maybe you can flip it and go, okay, well, look at Oklahoma. Their defense has been horrible. Do we have confidence in that defense? Yeah, Kyler Murray's been phenomenal, and the offense is really explosive. But I'm not sure how much, you know, you got one who looks like it's underachieving and the other one who looks like they're just not very good on defense. So I think right now I'm curious to see what the committee is going to feel like they have more confidence in. Question is, I think if both teams bring their A game, I think Ohio State is the more dangerous team. But I don't know if the committee is going to feel that way when they look at just the losses. The one loss is much worse than what Oklahoma has against Texas.
Hey, Bruce, one last thing. You and I have done this a long time, and you've come on our TV shows, you've come on our radio shows, and I know you're locked in to the sport that you're covering, the thing you're working on, but what a fascinating time it is. I look at your bio, and look at the way I introduced you. Reporter for Fox Sports, FS1, writer for The Athletic, New York Times best-selling author. What an interesting time in the media landscape and the way it's shaping up right now. Like, what's your work like for you, and how different is it now than what you did even 5 or 6 years ago?
Oh, it's been dramatically different. I think the biggest thing is you got to be versatile and be open to different things. And I feel really lucky that, you know, Fox gave me the chance to do sideline. And I feel like there's a lot of people you can look at who are really good at what they do and say, okay, I don't know if I can be as good as that person or that woman is at what she does, but I can try to aspire to be that. And I mean, to me, the message is go try to be open to do as many different things. And at the core of it, I mean, I love covering college football. It's been the best job, you know, I could have ever hoped for. If you had told, you know, me when I was in junior college that this is what I get to do years later, I'd be like, okay, what finger do I have to cut off to make that happen?
Right.
You know, so I feel really, really fortunate about it. And it's, you know, like I said, it's a good time to be in the sport, because I think so much stuff you have to evolve. And you know, like I said, I'm grateful to Fox especially for giving me the opportunity to do some stuff that, quite honestly, I never would have dreamed I would have gotten those chances, maybe at other places.
Bruce Feldman, reporter for Fox Sports and FS1. He writes for The Athletic and is a best-selling author as well. New York Times best-selling author. Bruce, great to have you back. I know you're busy and working today. Thanks for sliding that one in.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Take
you
care.
You too. Bruce Feldman. It's good advice, too, if you're in the media, aspiring to be in the media, already in the media. He's right. Got to try different things. We all have to evolve. We all have to change, reinvent, reimagine. And I think pretty much all of us in the business think like that.